Well, hello everyone. My name is Heidi Richards Mooney and I am the host of the Entrepreneur Show, and I'm so excited to have my next guest who's talking about one of my very favorite subjects in the world, blogging. Let me tell you a little bit about her. Marcy Hill is a writer, blogger, and author. She's a PR-friendly freelance writer and blogger with over 13 years of writing experience. She enjoys reading, researching, roller skating, ooh, I love that, technology, traveling, and photography. Marcy has presented at blogging and social media conferences across the United States, and today Marcy and I will be talking about blogging. Everyone has a story. So Marcy, I think my very first question is how you first became interested in blogging.
It was by default. And how are you, Heidi?
I am so good. Thank you for being with us. Yes, I should ask you how you were first.
Oh, no. And thank you for having me.
Welcome.
I started blogging by default. I left my job in 2008 to pursue my passion of writing. And I went to a conference that year. And that I think it was around that time blogging became all the rage. And someone advised me to start a blog to highlight my experiences, my writing skills and experiences. So when people say, well, do you have a portfolio and let me see what you can do, I will have a blog to show for it. So that's how I got started. But since then, I have grown addicted to blogging. It's just so bad. I get an idea, I start a blog, but they're not always, that's not always a good thing, but I love blogging too.
But if you love it, and hopefully you're making a business out of it as well, and you're getting some great credit, you're building your credibility and your portfolio, I think that's really amazing. So what do you mean by everyone has a story? And why is that so important?
Let me step back. Whenever you see anybody, just even walking down the street, if you look at them, you always wonder, I wonder because I'm a writer, like, how are they feeling today? Or if they're not looking good, what happened during their, you know, during their lifetime? Or no, not even just their lifetime, during that day, their morning, that got them to feeling that way. But then, as you can see, I'm a talker. So I will talk to people on the bus and at the train station, and then people will start going way back into like their childhood. We just say, hey, how are you doing today? and then you have so many people that have amazing stories. And these are stories you would never know if you had never taken the time to speak to that person. Even just saying, how are you today? Everyone has a story.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry.
It sounds like it's really enriched not only their lives, but yours by having the courage to talk to people.
I talk to anybody. As long as you look non-threatening, I'll talk to you. But even, and I think for me, I love history too. So when I look at my elders, the first thing I think was, did you have a chance? What were you doing during the civil rights movements? And then the people older than those years, you know, you still have some people say, well, my grandmother was the, you know, was a son, you know, was, you know, their grandparent was a slave. So you still hear things like that. Or this is the part, you know, we were part of the union movement in Chicago, and you just look like, wow. If you never sit down and just say hello, you would never know any of these things.
Wow. And you can make great connections with people, correct? By doing that.
Yes. And then you connect the past to now, because some people don't really think about history. But then if you're sitting down, for me, if I sit down and talk to people who have been part of history, that's the greatest honor ever. Because they lived it. And now you're telling me about it. Now I can go back and share it with somebody else. And hopefully I don't distort the story as I'm sharing it. But at least I had the chance to talk to somebody who experienced it.
So it sounds to me like you interview people and you're having a conversation, but it's kind of turns into maybe an interview because you're getting to know a little bit more about them by asking the right questions and being interested, correct? So then
yes.
Take that information back and then you write a blog post about it?
I may write a blog post about it, but I am a writer first. So I'll pitch story ideas to different publications to see if they're interested and see how we can grow their article from just this piece of information.
Oh, fabulous.
Because when I left my job, I left to be a freelance writer. So writing, I'm a writer first and then a blogger and then everything else.
So what was the purpose then of starting your first blog? If because it sounds like you're doing the freelance writing as your business and the blogging sounds more like your pleasure. Is that correct?
No, they're both a business because I actually wrote a book, the 62 blog posts to overcome blogger's block. So that's part of the monetization of my blogging skills and experience.
Oh,
and that was based on all of my years of blogging experience. And how, well, the book is on how to create content for your blog. So that's one part of the monetization. But then I also get writing assignments because of my blog.
So I would like, for instance, when you get a minute to type in the name of your book and how we can get a copy of it, because I think that sounds like a wonderful book for a lot of people who are either experiencing writer's block or trying to figure out what type of content or maybe to come up with a purpose for their blog. So you wrote the blog, it sounds to me, with the purpose of creating this series. In other words, it was a single topic with multiple layers and multiple aspects of that topic of blogging. Is that correct?
My blogging career began, well, it was an extension of a newsletter I started. My first site was called, my first blog was Shorty, Your Chicago Southside Resource. And I had a newsletter that I had written for, I wrote, edited, published, I did everything for the newsletter. And I did that for at least 8 years.
Wow.
And then after the person told me to advise me to start a blog, I've moved everything from the newsletter to the blog. So it was focus was your Southside resource. But now I have a blog, Marcy Writes, and that's my portfolio site. So I share all of my experiences on that particular site. So any resources or things, well, topics where I can educate and encourage people, that's what you'll find on Marcy Writes. Then I have a site, Real Skate Stories, because I'm doing research on Chicago's roller skating history for now with the goal of becoming this big, huge resource for roller skating. And it's the quad skating, not ice skating, not rollerblading. It's the real skate, you know, with the four wheels front and back, not the inline. That's not real skating to us. But that's, I have a site for that. I blog periodically.
So in the roller skating one, so what kind of tips do you give in the roller skating on your roller skating blog?
Actually, I don't give tips. I provide the resource. Well, I provide information that I find during the course of my research. And right, and okay. A lot of my articles now are pretty much a call for roller skating stories. So I'll say, well, if you used to skate on the west side of Chicago, you know, which ring did you skate at? And people actually come. I really don't promote that site just yet because I'm focusing on finishing this, you know, pushing out the selling my blogging book, but that's my next project. And people are finding the site, but the only thing is I don't have a lot of pictures. That's my only concern right now because the site will be really, really huge because people say, oh, I used to roller skate here. And people just come and leave short messages. It's a blessing. And then I'll get an alert to say, well, you have a new comment, which is cool, but I wish I just had those photos. But once I get it the way I want it to, it'll be over the top. It'll be my other two sites out, even though I started those first. That would be the fun one.
It sounds like that you're a very diverse type of blogger. So did you go into blogging with the intention of making it into a business?
How did you
let people know, or how did people find your blog when you first started blogging?
When I first started blogging, I had my email list from Marcy, from Shorty. So I would email people with that one. And then I started getting on social media. I would share it through Facebook, but now I love Twitter. So that's my main source of communication. So that's how I grow it. And then now as I speak to people, people know me as a blogger and they'll say, oh, what's your blog? And now it's mostly word of mouth now. and Twitter. But
you know, it's funny because we met on Twitter. Did we not meet on Twitter? We met on Twitter, correct?
I'm not sure if it was Twitter or LinkedIn.
Okay, it was one or the other, but maybe I found you on LinkedIn and Twitter afterwards. But I agree with you. I think as a writer, Twitter is a fabulous place. It's a good place for people who want to become really good at editing and writing getting to the point, as well as promoting your book, because Twitter people love to share new things that they discover. And for me, a discovery is finding a new writer or a new book that I want everybody to know about. So that's what I mean by when you discover new things on Twitter, it's things that other people have posted, and it's just fabulous. I love it. So,
so do I.
All right. So let's talk. Oh, me too. And I think that that's a good medium for writers. So I recently read some interesting statistics about bloggers, that marketers who use blogs receive 67% more leads than those that do not, and companies who blog receive 97% more links to their websites. So why do you think that is?
As Ali created, and this is where the creative writing comes in with social media, because if you have a story and you just say, well, if you just use the title of your article, people may read it, but if you're more creative and say, hey, check out this video, or entice them in some way, because you can be creative on social media and the way you invite people to do things. So I have another book called How to Write a Professional Bio, a Powerful Professional Bio. So I said, well, it's the start of the new year. If you need a bio, here's a resource for you. And that's one of the ways you can entice people, because you're giving them what they need. And sometimes you'll say, well, this is just a quick funny. And you have a short link and you'll send it to your site. So it's easy to drive traffic if you're creative. And I can see why you have more links to it at that time. And then you have people, and you know which times to connect with folks, because there's a whole study on the best time to share tweets on, you know, share your updates on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And if you are armed with that information, that's the time you zoom in. You know, those are the times you'll zoom in on those particular sites.
Absolutely.
Just one more thing. With the businesses too, if you find that if companies connect with, just even people just tweet them, they're more likely to create evangelists. Evangelist. And you'll have these people like, wow, they spoke to me. So the next time you see them online, you're more willing to share because this person actually connected with you, even just to say, hey, or thanks, just something that simple. And that's how brands can create and individuals create relationships, just with the small things.
You're right. It's the small talk that gets the people to pay attention, I think, more than always giving them information. I think that's what's nice about Twitter, even though people at first didn't understand it because they thought all we did was talk about where we were eating and, you know, what we had for lunch, right, and what we're doing today, and arguments with our spouses or our kids. But it's really not that way. It's really about, you know, I think it's a lot about helping other people. So I think Twitter, especially, I love LinkedIn. LinkedIn, for me, most of my business comes from LinkedIn, but most of my book sales have come from Twitter. So I think that they work really nicely together, even though they're not together, if you know what I mean. I find a great writer on LinkedIn and I promote them on Twitter. I think that that's just, it seems to work. I definitely love promoting people I meet. So and I'm sure you've started out in your early days in blogging. What were some of the things that you did that you would have liked to have done differently when you first started blogging?
When I first started, I think I would have liked to have been more focused in my target, in my topics, because I was just transferring information from the newsletter to the blog. And some of it was okay, but some of it was just totally random. So in my early stages, I wish I had known that. And also, I wish I would have started with a business plan in mind. Because when I started, it was just all fun. Now it's over 5 years later, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, I get most business offline. But now, what can I incorporate into my site that will make, you know, that will draw more traffic and then let that traffic convert to dollars. So that's what I wish I would have thought about in my early stages.
Smart. Yeah. But you built, what you did was you built your portfolio, like you said, which is really also important. Some people go into blogging for different reasons. I think I've always gone into blogging as number one, the resource, and number two, how can I make money sharing those resources? So I think that those are two things that have been my purpose in blogging, but everybody's not the same. Some people are blogging to build a repository to write a book. I've known so many authors who did this. Their book was totally from their blog. You know, she wrote Escape from Cubicle Nation. Pam Slim. I interviewed her many years ago, and she wrote this book. She worked in corporate America and in a little cubicle. And every day she wrote about her experiences in the cubicle and how she was going to escape and what the steps to take to get out of corporate America and start on your own and all that. It was just a fabulous blog that because it had so much great information and personal stories, et cetera, she got a big publisher to actually approach her and say, I really like what you're doing. I'd like to publish this as a book. I don't remember if it was McGraw-Hill, but it was one of them, one of the larger companies. And so since then, she's written a couple of other books. And so blogging can make you an instant celebrity, I think. Well, kind of like YouTube does for, you know, the Biebers of the world.
And other for YouTubers.
Yeah. So I think that blogging is a great way to build your name. You know, what are some of the things that you did right in the beginning that you're still doing when it came to blogging?
One is blogging consistently, because people don't really understand how much work goes into blogging. And just having a consistent schedule is very important. Even I tell people, even if you say my goal is once a month, just make sure you blog consistently that one time per month. That was one thing I did correctly. And then promoting I didn't do it so consistently, but even promoting myself and my blog, because when I started my blog, I was in transition. I was moving from an HR professional, human resources professional, to a writer. So you still had that insecurity there, like, well, maybe I'm a writer, you know, and then you start saying after probably about a year, yes, I am a writer. Then you start saying, well, maybe I'm a blogger, because that's what I did. So that was one of those things. I did promote what I did, but it was without confidence because of the transition. So those are two things I know I did right. And then just promoting others in general. And that helps a lot, because you'll find that even if you promote somebody and they don't reciprocate, for every person you promote, there are at least five or six other people who just reach, you know, contact you out of the blue and say, hey, I like to write about, you know, interview you or help promote your article or your story. So those are three things I know I did right.
Excellent. Excellent. So tell us how you blog. Tell us what you do. What's and how often do you blog? So in other words, what's your process? What do you go through to get that blog post written and all of that?
I have tons and tons of drafts of stories that should have been posted for the past few years. So right now, I know Marcy Writes, the schedule for Marcy Writes is just Tuesday. I haven't been blogging on Shorty because I needed a break. I was still on blockation. So, for Marcy Writes, it's every Tuesday. And I actually have an idea of topics that I want to share. So I normally write about writing, blogging, social media, and being a self-published author. So I really don't have a process. I just have the topics, and I just know Tuesday, ideally, it will be posted by 6 o'clock that morning. If not by six, then sometime Tuesday. And then I have my schedule for Real Skate Stories, which is every other week on Thursday. And that's kind of on hiatus now because I need more topics. I have a lot of topics, but I need the time to go in and say, hey, this makes sense. So right now, I'm just, the focus is Marcy Writes. But Shorty was at least twice a week because it's just, I was just sharing resources. So I didn't really put a lot of time into stories on that site. It was just giving a good image We post it with the information and it's there. So that's, I don't have a good process. So I hope I didn't throw anybody off with what I did. It was just,
well, you do have a process. You just may not have been able to been define it. So, okay. So you blog on Tuesday, your blog post goes live. How long does it take you to come up with the idea for it and to write the actual article? And do you write longhand or do you write right on the blog?
I write longhand, I write a draft and then, then type it into the blog. But if it was something I was thinking about already, if it's already a draft in Word, you know, we just copy and paste. But I find that the longest process, the two things that take the most time is finding a free image, because you don't want anybody to come after you and sue you for pictures. And then editing, because it may take only 15 minutes to write an article. And then I'll go back and look at it and say, nope, you know, this could read like this. So what could be 30 minutes, I normally turn into an hour, probably unnecessarily, but that's my process. I'm extreme when it comes to editing.
Well, you know, an hour is not a long time. Some people take hours because they're so afraid of it or worried about it being perfect. And I think that hinders a lot of people from writing in general. Perfection, which it's important to be grammatically correct and have your facts straight and all of that. But what I mean by perfection is it's so perfect that nobody really, it doesn't care, because sometimes you get to the point where it's not real anymore, I think, when you get too perfect. So I think, and I don't know how you feel about this, but I'd love to know, I think blogging tends to be allow you to be more real and transparent and less perfect. People will forgive you, at least today, compared to early on.
I think it does, but it depends on, I think if you're a writer, you looked at more critically because you are a writer. Yeah. That's the only, I won't say even bad thing, downfall of being a writer who blogs. But overall, blogging is a great platform to be as goofy as you want, to be as serious as you want. I would just say, just don't offend anybody, because you will probably meet those people. And depending on who you offend, they may have a larger following than yours and they may put you on blast. But blogging is just a beautiful platform to create. You can create how you want, when you want, and where you want, because you can download. I use WordPress. So you can download the WordPress app. And if you're just out and say, you know what, this is crazy, upload a photo and you have a post. And it might be all in a matter of 5 to 10 minutes. Well, if you're not worried about perfection. And then you might upload a video right quick and say, you know, this is what's happening where I am. And you just have a post in 10 minutes. And you can always go back in when you're on your tablet or on your computer. Just say, you know, just put a note, say revised from earlier. But yeah, I think it's a beautiful platform. I don't think people fully understand the value of blogging in general and what blogging can do for you. Because like you said, people have written books, have used their blogs to write books. And you have so many people say, well, I want to write a book. I say, well, blog it. Then another can be like, I'm retarded. I'm like, no, this will, and it gives you that platform. And then you have, you know, and you have start creating consistent schedule because you have this place. So, but blogging is a beautiful thing, and it's a game changer.
It is. And you know, when you mentioned about blogging your book, I think a point that would be worth mentioning is that when people start reading your stuff, whatever that stuff may be, you can start getting feedback and see if you're on, number one, the right track or not. If it's interesting to people, they'll comment. Or they'll share it, and then you know you're on the right track. And if they're not, then you can find out, well, what is it I need to do, and how can I? It's not like years ago when we wrote a book, we were writing kind of in this, we were in, had tunnel vision, because writing is a very solitary sport, if you will, to most people. But with blogging, it's not. It's a social sport, because you're writing for you, but you're also writing for a lot of other people to see, even before it may even matter, you know. Right. So it helps So I think that that's one of the things. You also mentioned about the photographs. Now, I will give you a resource I think is good, and I'm going to share one. I wrote a blog post called 58 free places to get photography, to get images for your blog or your or whatever blog, your articles, newsletters, etc. But I will share with you. I started with a company called Graphic Stock. They're under $100 for a year for unlimited number of graphics. So if that would be of interest, sometimes it's hard to find the right image with those free ones. And I know I like Gratisography and Pixabay and PicJumbo and a lot of them. And I find them and use them for simple posts. But there's occasionally a time when I need to pay for an image because I just can't find the right image. Like, for instance, I work in the legal field a little bit. I'm just starting to work with a few lawyers, and I haven't found free images that work for that topic. But for most topics, like roller skating, you probably could find tons of pictures, free images on some of these sites. So I think, you have to think about what you're writing about to know. So you use mostly free image sites with Graphic Stock. I think that they had a special and it may still be going on for $75 for the year. My gosh, you know how many blog articles, how many graphics I use a day? 5 to 10. And for me to go and search all of those free sites for images.
Right. So,
if you're writing one blog post, it's fine. So think about possibly, and anybody listening to go to some of those sites that charge. And I mean, you can get images for 50 cents to a dollar in a lot of them. But then again, you got to worry about two things. Everybody else using the same image.
Right.
It's showing everywhere else, you know. So, I mean, it's good and bad. When you're writing a blog post for fun, or if it's not a really serious technical topic, then I think that those free sites are absolutely perfect for it. Are there any favorites that you have?
I don't, because I'm still looking. Thank you for that resource, because I will check it out.
I will definitely have my Redhead Marketing blog, and I'll post it. When I post this, I'll post the link to that. Where do you get your creative ideas, Marcy? Where does your inspiration come from?
Just everyday experiences, because I try to put my place where I just think funny. So some things you'll be looking at and say, and then I make up stories as I see people. So I'll say, well, you know what? They're looking like that because they just got off the bus and, you know, somebody took their seat and they were just really tired, you know, something goofy like that. But I think it's just everyday experiences. And then I read a lot of people are really funny. If you read the comments that people make on different blogs, there are a lot of funny people, and these people you'll probably never know, and they probably never realize their gift, their talent for being funny, because they don't really share it unless it's just, you know, with comments. So I look at that, and then just social media sites, because people are always posting. People post a lot of things, and then some things you just never know which angle people are coming from. You might see a crying baby. And then they'll put a little comment saying, well, you know, you stole my sippy cup or something like that. And it's just so funny. People are so funny. Generally, I mean, not everybody, but generally speaking, you have a lot of people that have good sense. They have a good sense of humor. And they're my sources of inspiration.
Fabulous. Well, you know, it's funny. I don't consider myself funny, but I agree with you. And sometimes I don't think people know they're even funny. You know, they may not intend to be funny, but then it turns out that way. It's all interpretation. That's the challenge of the written word, I think, is interpretation. If there is one bit of advice that you could share with our audience about blogging and sharing your story, what would that be, Marcy?
One thing is to write what you love, or I mean, share what you love, because when people tell you with blogging, oh, your site has to be focused. And no, it doesn't. I mean, for me, I have the Shorty, Your Chicago South Side resource site, because, okay, that's the South Side. But if it's just authentically you, share your thoughts, share yourself. And that's one of those things I would encourage people, just do you. and make it work. Don't worry about, listen to other people, but ultimately follow your heart. So that's one thing I would tell people. And then if you're going to do it, be consistent. If you know it's not working for you, be true to yourself with that too. You just don't have to do it because somebody said you have to do it, or you feel that you have to do it and it's not working for you. Blogging is not for everybody and it's a lot of work. And once you feel, you know, when life happens, your blog is the first thing that leaves. Okay. Yeah.
That's true.
And then if you have a topic that you love, you'll try to squeeze it in and say, listen, I only can do it every other week now. But, you know, just do what you love and just do you. That's the main piece of advice I would give to anybody.
So do you have any favorite blogs that you read consistently or read once in a while even, besides your own?
I do. I do read Pro Blogger and Copy Blogger.
I love Darren. I've actually interviewed him. He's fabulous.
Who? Darren?
Darren Roos, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's so cool. And I met him at New Media Expo years ago. So he was really
wonderful. Good. I haven't met him in person, but I've had him on a couple of my shows. He's really great.
And he's in my book too.
Fabulous.
I have samples of different blog post types of blog posts, and his site is one. So I read Copy Blogger, Pro Blogger, and then Pen and Prosper. So you see I'm working on the whole writing and blogging thing. There's a young lady, Awesomely Lovey, who does pop culture. And she'll throw out like the dumbest tweets and things. So I read her. And I read a buddy, and I can't think, I know it's Wise Woman too, but that's not the name of her site. And I read her once a week. Cause she's her topic was authentic woman. And she goes into, I always tell you to speak your truth. And she's in my blog too. My book too. So those are like the main sites I visit at least once a week. Everything else I say, I'll get to. Oh, and Make a Living Writing. Those are my sites. You see, I don't do a lot of fun sites. I do a lot of sites. Well, do a lot of sites about making money, writing, and blogging. So that's what I normally follow.
Oh, smart. So what's next for you?
To get my book into schools and to actually like build a brand of Marcy Writes. I'm working on that. I need help, but to build a brand. So when they say, well, Marcy is here, I can get paid for Marcy. Kind of like the Kardashians. If I could, get that recognition where people will care. So that's what Marcy Writes. And then to sell the book to schools, that's one of my main goals. And then with my roller skating research, to actually at least complete a draft this year, because I have been researching since 2009 and I'm sick of all of this paper just here. So let me do something with it, because that was the purpose of starting this site. Well, to starting the research. And then that site. And then for Shorty to actually become the Southside resource. So I want to be the Google for the Southside of Chicago. Anything you need going on, If you want to find out what's happening, I want Shorty to be a resource. That probably won't happen soon because that's a lot of work, a lot. But those are my four main goals for my sites in my book.
So with any of your blogs, do you invite people to guest blog to write blog posts with you and share them on your blog? Or do you primarily just write your own content?
Everyone is invited, but so far only a couple people have taken me up on it, and that's mostly for Marcy Writes. But see, everybody is welcome. But like I said, I don't know. I mean, I have people who are reading. I have people who are commenting. But then very few people say, hey, I would like to share this article. You know, so I haven't had a lot of guest bloggers, but definitely they're welcome.
Okay, so the opportunity, because I'm always interested in, I mean, you've got some amazing resources, and sometimes people are like, oh, you know what, I'd really love to work with you or something, and you never know what that might open up. It has for me. I've invited guest bloggers who've just, found me, gee whiz, online, obviously, and then said, hey, you know what? I've got this post idea. What do you think about it? Would you consider featuring it on your blog? And I think once you've done it a few times, all of a sudden, everybody wants to write for you. Because I have one blog called We Magazine for Women. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to feature you on there, by the way. Mm-hmm. It's We Inspire, Promote, and We Inform. And that's our tagline. And so mostly it's all about women. And it's about the woman's voice. I like to feature women in business, women on the move, women in public service. And we have great articles all about women as well. And so, and we do have some men who write for us as well, because men have a perspective about women that we need to know. You know, it's nice to get in their heads too. You know, let them, they'll never get in our heads, but we want to get in theirs.
They'll be so confused. You're like, why?
Men are still scratching their head wondering about women. So it's okay. I understand that you have a tip or resource of the week that you could share with us. So would you mind telling us what that is?
I don't have a resource this week.
Like a website people could go to besides your own. And I want you to also put any information.
The tip or resource of a week. What would I tell people? Well, I haven't really done much this week because I was taking a break. But let me see. What's a good resource? Now, one resource I would share with people is, oh my goodness, I used it today to Awesome Screenshot. And I know that's a plugin for, I use Firefox, and I know it's a plugin. I think it might be a plugin for Chrome, but I'm not sure if you can use it for Explorer. And
it's called Awesome Screenshot.
It allows you to take a full page, a full shot of an entire web page. And if you want to add circles, you know, add shapes or add text, you can do that. And that's so convenient, especially for bloggers. Well, for anybody, but especially for bloggers. So you can take a screenshot of anything and then add comments. So that's a wonderful resource.
Well, you know, I do a little web design. I'm getting out of it more and more. I only do it for select clients now. But over the years, I've done a lot of web design. And the hardest part is taking a screenshot and showing your work. So I've always had to do it in portions. Now, I've found a tool that worked, but it never made it large enough. So I'm going to check out Awesome Screenshot, because that sounds like something I would definitely use quite a bit.
Yeah.
So thank you.
And I know I use it for Firefox, and I'm almost certain Chrome has it, but I'm not sure about Explorer. So definitely.
Well, I have Firefox on one of mine. Okay. I have Firefox on one of my.
And I did use it today. So. Another
fabulous
thing, I did I haven't started using these the way I should, but I did I participated in a Twitter chat on Monday, and the young lady, there was a guy who kept posting GIFs, GIFs?
GIFs, yeah.
Yeah, so he kept posting those. And I think that would be perfect, depending on your topic. I think people should start using those more. I'm definitely going to start, depending on the topic and how it fits into the content that I'm sharing. So I don't have any sites at this time. I just know that he just kept posting those, and I was loving it. And I said, man, I need to do what this guy is doing. So I would say include those in your blog posts if possible.
Absolutely. And definitely on social media. They're very popular on social media. So GIFs, that's .gifs, and those are moving images, if you will. I'm letting the audience know if they don't know what that is. I think that's a great, and you can just Google, I think, and find like free GIFs and GIFs, I don't know. I'm not even sure, because I've never really used them much. I've shared what other people have used, but I've never really used them. I would love to know how to use them. Yeah. That's great. That's great advice. Thank you. So what's the best way for us to contact you, Marcy?
The two best ways to contact me are via email and Twitter. So my email is, you can catch me on my site, Marcy Writes, MarciWrites.com. That's where you can find me and everything that I do. And then my Twitter account is Marcy_Hill.
Okay, Marcy underscore Hill. Okay. And so Twitter is Marcy.
And you always find me on Twitter. Always.
You got it. All right. Oh, yeah, me too. I'm there a lot. Not always, but enough.
Right.
Let me find. Okay, underscore Hill. Okay. So I put Twitter. Okay, so I've got you both places, website and your Twitter profile. And I just want to say thank you, Marcy, for taking time out of your busy day to be on the Entrepreneur Show. It's been a delight. I'm so excited I got to meet you. And I'm going to send you a few things because I want to stay in contact and I want to make sure that that we get to feature you on my magazine. And if you have any other things you'd like to share, you can certainly drop me a line, email, send it to social media, and let me know, and I'll be happy to help promote what you're doing as well. Thank you again.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Heidi.
You're welcome. And so this has been Heidi Richards. I just want to mention the next show is on the 21st of January at 2 o'clock with Tracy Amon, and she's going to be talking about how to create and grow a successful Facebook group. She has the Women Speakers Association and one of the largest, a great speakers association group on Facebook, a Facebook page. And she's started out as a virtual assistant, so she'll be a really interesting person to speak. So thank you again. We've been speaking today with Marcy Hill from marcywrites.com. And again, this is Heidi Richards from Women in E-commerce. Have a great day, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you.